New York City has an interesting Democratic mayoral candidate who recently defeated Andrew Cuomo. And while we may think it's New York, you know, why does it bother us here in St. Louis? Well, it could be a barometer for the direction of the Democratic Party. Michael, should we start with you?
I don't buy that. First of all, I don't believe what's happening in the world's biggest city is a barometer for what it means for the entire Democratic Party. Interesting.
And this is Zohran Mamdani.
Right. And he's a Democratic socialist. And he got a third of the vote. Guess who got a third of the vote as well is Andrew Cuomo. You know, remember him. He was the sex scandal guy who was run out. So 66% of the votes that were cast in New York were for either a socialist or Andrew Cuomo. So their selections were not normal. Right. And we can argue that New York City may be one unique city in the sense that a lot of progressive ideas actually could get implemented there because of the amount of money that they have. Now, I want to go all over this guy. I'm not a big fan of him, but I have been impressed by the way that he's communicating. I have been impressed by the way that he's out there putting together a message, rallying folks behind it. He's got young people. The folks inside my office are charged up about him. And think that he brings this new way of communicating, really going to the internet and kind of going along with what AOC's up to. So I'm trying to look at the bright spot of it, but I do not believe who the Democrats have as a mayor in New York City is a harbinger for what it means nationwide.
Quick devil's advocate here, though, but what about AOC? She had that upset in New York. She's a Democratic socialist. She's taken the stage nationally. A lot of my friends, a lot of young people love her. Why should we not view this as part of that very progressive swell?
Well, but that progressive swell is not hunting out here in the hinterlands where Democrats need to win. It's happening in New York. And by the way, AOC is one of the biggest and brightest stars inside the Democratic Party. I mean, I think she's evolving into becoming a long-term leader, even to those who may not like that brand of politics.
I think what is broken about our politics is the fact that the vast majority of our elected officials are functionally elected in primary elections where most people don't vote. And so this guy wins a Democratic primary, he's probably going to be the governor. If you win a Democratic primary in St. Louis, you're going to be the mayor. If you win a Democratic primary in St. Louis County, you're going to be the county executive. If you win a Republican primary in St. Charles County, you're going to be the county executive. And I think that our voters haven't particularly paid a lot of attention to the fact that when they show up in November to vote, the decisions are already made. For the vast majority, I'm talking about, upwards of 75-80% of elected officials are functionally elected in primary elections, and voters aren't participating.
So a message of state control of grocery stores, which does sound like communism
to
me.
It is communism.
It's worked so well in Venezuela and the USSR.
In New York when you have people who are in that type of situation where they can't afford
their food. You're going to see, I will make this bold prediction, Amy, right here on the Chris and Amy show, minus Chris, is that you're going to see a mass exodus from the city of New York to other places. And I think Florida is going to see a bump. I think Texas is going to see a bump. And I think New York is going to suffer. I think the business community in New York is going to suffer and relocate. That's what I predict.
But there's so much of New York that can't move. Look, I don't think it's great. I don't think they ought to be stressing the system. And I want, the people to stay there. And I want New York to be the capital of the world. The reality is Wall Street can't be picked up and moved to Miami. So New York is always going to be New York. So a guy like this candidate can come up with an idea which says we are going to literally tax the world's richest people who live in our, city extra. He can pull that off because even the guys who have $50 and $60 million in New York are not going to be paying the taxes the way the truly richest people are who happen to live in New York.
Do you think it's going to, even if it's not a mass exodus, only because New York is New York, it's resilient, it's an incredible city, people want to be there. Could it be that you have to suffer through something of a disaster as far as, I don't mean a natural disaster, but I just mean like these grocery stores popping up, not working, turning into food deserts, just being a failure before they turn it around.
Potentially. But to the logic that you have, John, and I think a lot of people are pushing, and I'm sorry, Amy, I hope this kind of hits what you were talking about. But to the logic that you have that now these taxes are going to go up in New York and therefore people are going to flee.
Yeah.
What's happening in Missouri? We're losing population. Our taxes are some of the lowest in the country. We have some of the lowest gas taxes in the country. We have some of the most affordable property. But we're not seeing people relocate to Missouri. When we're going to keep cutting taxes. And in fact, we have a population drain happening
sure,
in this
because
state.
Because what you have in Missouri, unlike a state like Florida or Texas, you've got two large urban centers where, you know, we're 5-6 million people. Mm-hmm. And we've got between St. Louis and Kansas City, almost half of that. States like Florida have numbers and numbers of different communities and cities and places in which to move. And people, you know, St. Louis's reputation nationally, internationally is not so good right now. Kansas City's is better. But I think the reason you're not seeing a population boom in a state like Missouri is that there just aren't that many populated places in which to live.
I don't know. I just think it's a hard argument for you all to be making that, you continue to raise these taxes, we're going to run to these other states.
Well,
they're running for the weather because they're running out of Missouri, too. And by the way, we're not just losing population in Missouri. They're losing it in Sykeston and counties I've never heard of.
Could it be possible that it's like, again, nothing is monocausal, so we're losing population in Missouri, even though we have great tax rates. California, people are fleeing the taxes there. You're going to Florida, which is better when it comes to taxes, is a red state, but also is Florida, has the beach. Aren't people taking in multiple factors when
they
decide?
Well, of course. And what we do know is that if you want less of something, you tax it. And that is just a basic cardinal principle of economics. And when you start taxing wealth, you're going to have less wealth in that jurisdiction. And that's what's going to happen in New York.
Well, Zoran Mamdani, who is the Democratic candidate, mayoral candidate.
Who's he going to run against? Eric Adams is running for re-election.
So.
As an independent.
Yeah.
What some choices up
know.
In New York, huh?
And he's mentioned, as we mentioned, that the public-owned grocery stores, which someone made a pretty funny point about walking into some government, you know, whatever you're dealing with the federal government or the local government and going, man, I wish these guys ran my grocery stores. It would be so
right.
much nicer. No one thinks that. But Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, he also pitched the government-run, city-run grocery stores. That kind of fell. So now I think he wants a city market. But Chicago had this idea as well. Do you think there's a chance that if Mamdani becomes mayor, that this could actually move forward?
Well, but there's a root to the issue that Mamdani is pointing at, and he's trying to come up with a solution to it, and that's government. But the reality is there are food deserts. We have them here in St. Louis.
We do.
It's just not economically viable for these stores to present in some of these in these neighborhoods. And as a result, they don't have access to food. And so the folks in those communities deserve it. So they're responding to constituents. And, you know, I don't like the concept of a state-run grocery store, but if that's the only answer to having groceries in these food deserts, then it needs to be examined. Why isn't the free market working?
Because of theft. The reason you're not putting grocery stores in high-crime neighborhoods is because they can't make money. And the free market doesn't work if you're getting robbed blind and people are coming in and stealing your stuff and walking out the door.
John, they're not just putting grocery stores in food deserts because of theft. It has to do with a number of societal issues. And we've got to find some way to deal with it because at the end of the day, these people still have to eat.
They do.
And if you only have grocery stores, you know, like we have hospitals in this town, I mean, think about where the hospitals are in St. Louis. Isn't it interesting? They all seem to be on the Highway 40 corridor. Of course, we've got one or two scattered up north, but they seem to be where all the people who have money are. That's the same thing that happens with grocery stores. I don't necessarily mean that as it relates to St. Louis, because I think we've got good coverage as it relates to grocery stores.
We do.
But there are a couple of places on both sides of the river where the free market is not meeting the needs of people who need to be have access to food.
Reason the free market isn't building grocery stores in certain places is that they lose money. And that is the free market working. And if you don't want to lose money, then I would suggest you cut down on the crime rate. And
but what does that say to people who've invested their entire lives, you know, and they don't have a car? Believe it or not, there are people who don't have a car. They don't have access.
Yeah.
They want to be able to go to the same type of grocery store that you and I have access to, but it's 10 miles away.
That's where, like, city policy, I think, does really affect local residents. We talked about the Schnucks in South City. I think it's the one off of Hampton, and they had to hire their own security. And Megan Green, the president of the Board of Aldermen, wants to defund the police and said, well, you pay for your own security. That's a city politician, a city policy affecting the viability of a grocery store in an area that might need more security, which costs money, trying to clean it up, trying to keep panhandlers away, trying to keep it a business that people want to go to. And I think that's why when you look at certain city policies, like you look at California, why is homelessness growing there? And in other ways, cities have actually been able to bring down homeless numbers across the country. You look at city policies, a lot of the common trends that you see is lax enforcement of crime, enabling continued drug use, making it easier, becoming basically an enabler. And I do think you can, I think you need to have empathy for those who are homeless, but it can get to the point where it perpetuates those problems. And now you're just funding homelessness because you're not enforcing laws. You're enabling them to continue to do these drug habits. So that is something that it's a local policy that affects the viability of businesses around the area.
I know we're getting ready to bolt, but one thing that I do find interesting in a lot of red states across the country,
yeah,
liquor stores are operated by the state. Why couldn't grocery stores be operated by some of the states and places that are food deserts?
Well, we're going to find out.
You've had state control. I mean, I can name you a couple of states, Utah, a bunch of Republican states, where you go to a grocery store. If you want to get a bottle of booze, you're not going to Schnucks. You're going to the state-run liquor store.
Or they've got a facility in the grocery store that the state,
state operates.
Ohio is an example of that. No, that's true.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly.